If you have your Bibles there with you, please kindly turn to Daniel chapter 3, and we shall read the whole chapter. Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, True, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. May God bless the reading of his word. Amen and amen. Let us pray. We thank you, our dear loving Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to look into your word. We thank you that the Holy Spirit, who inspired these words, is here with us. in our homes, wherever we may be watching from, to explain to us the true meaning of these words. We pray, O God, that what we learn will be applied into our day-to-day lives. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen and amen. There are many versions of a story I recently read on the internet, but it makes a very important point. Therefore, I would like to share a version of it with you, and it concerns a visiting pastor who attended a men's breakfast in Midwest rural America. The group leader at the men's breakfast asked an old farmer dressed in dirty overalls to say grace before the meal. The old farmer removed his dusty cap and began to pray like this: Lord, I hate buttermilk. Now, this caused the visiting pastor to open one eye and glance at the farmer, wondering where this prayer was going. The farmer loudly proclaimed, Lord, I hate lard, and you know I don't care much for raw flour. At that point, the pastor once again opened an eye to peek around the room, and he saw that he was not the only one who was feeling uncomfortable about the prayer. Then the farmer added, But Lord, when you mix them all together and bake them, I do love warm, fresh biscuits. So Lord, when things come up we don't like, when life gets hard, when we just don't understand what you are saying to us, help us to just relax and wait till you are done mixing. And probably it will be something even better than biscuits. And the farmer said, Amen. The application of heat to a number of ingredients which the old farmer did not like led to the tasty biscuits that he liked. The reality of life is that God sometimes applies heat or allows heat to be applied to us. We may not like it, but it may very well be the method that God uses to bring us closer to Him. The story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from Daniel chapter 3 continues to inspire us to remain faithful to our sovereign God when we are persecuted and when we are facing the fiery furnace of life's afflictions. Consequently, the title of this message is Glorifying God in Our Afflictions. Glorifying God in our afflictions. And I would like us to focus on the following key points. Are you following the crowd? How deep is your faith? And there is no king like our God. Let us look at the 3 points in detail. The first key point, are you following the crowd? Are you following the crowd? As indicated in Daniel chapter 1, many people from Judah were sent into exile in Babylon following the conquest of Jerusalem by King Nebuchadnezzar and his army. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among the young exiles specially chosen and trained for 3 years to work for King Nebuchadnezzar. According to Daniel chapter 1 verse 4, those specially chosen young men were without any physical defect. They were handsome, and they showed aptitude for every kind of learning. They were well informed and quick to understand. We thank God that we do not need such qualifications to be in the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think two things are required to serve Him. The first one is to accept Him as personal Savior and Lord. And the second one is willingness to serve Him. I encourage you today to enter into the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the things that distinguished Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from others was that they refused to follow the crowd when the crowd was doing the wrong thing. According to Daniel chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, the people were given the clear instructions to fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Anyone who failed to do that would be thrown into a blazing furnace. While the vast majority of the people obeyed this order, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship the golden image despite knowing the serious consequences that awaited them. Furthermore, according to Daniel chapter 3 verse 12, the three Jewish men also refused to serve King Nebuchadnezzar's gods. While most people were doing what was right in the sight of King Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided to do what was right in the sight of the Almighty God. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must not follow the crowd to do what is evil in the sight of God. Ultimately, our standard of behavior is dictated not by the shifting standards of the society in which we live, but by the unchanging standards of our Heavenly Father. How about you today? Are you following the crowd to do wrong? Have you lowered your standard of behavior to fit the standards of the world around you? When we are tempted to follow the crowd, let us remember who we are in Christ. Let us remember that as Christians, we are God's ambassadors. We see this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. And as stated very clearly in Romans 12, verse 2, we are not to conform to the standards of this world. The verse reads, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In 1967, an American pop group called The Monkees released a song with the title "Only Shades of Grey," which reflected the shifting moral standards in the Western world of those days. However, it is amazing that the lyrics written by Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil still reflect what is happening in our world today. Here is what they wrote. "When the world and I were young, just yesterday, life was such a simple game a child could play. It was easy then to tell right from wrong, easy then to tell weak from strong, when a man should stand and fight or just go along. But today, there is no day or night. Today, there is no dark or light. Today, there is no black or white, only shades of gray. I remember when the answers seemed so clear. We had never lived with doubt or tasted fear. It was easy then to tell truth from lies, selling out from compromise, who to love and who to hate, the foolish from the wise. But today, there is no day or night. Today, there is no dark or light. Today, there is no black or white, only shades of gray. For those of us who are true followers of Jesus Christ, let us continue to live our lives in accordance with the unchanging standards of the Almighty God instead of the shades of gray of this world. So I ask you again, are you following the crowd? Let's now look at the second point. How deep is your faith? The depth of our faith is revealed when we go through trials and difficulties. It is easy to shout, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord," when things are going well. But what is our attitude when things are going wrong? Let us look at the example set by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. According to Daniel 3:17-18, they made it clear to King Nebuchadnezzar that they were confident that God will save them from the blazing furnace. But they also went on to say something astonishing. They said that even if God would not rescue them, they would not serve King Nebuchadnezzar's gods or worship the golden image he has set up. That is a wonderful example of deep faith in the Almighty God. I wonder what you and I would have said and done under such a frightening situation. It is very encouraging that God saved the lives of his faithful servants, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Although the furnace was 7 times hotter than usual, the 3 people were not burnt at all. In fact, the people who threw them into the fire were the ones that got burnt to death. Another amazing thing was what King Nebuchadnezzar saw with his own eyes, as described in Daniel chapter 3, verses 24-25. King Nebuchadnezzar noticed the men walking around freely and unharmed in the fire, and there was a 4th person with them. The king described the 4th person in 2 ways. First of all, in verse 25, the NIV version, he described the person as someone looking like a son of the gods, which was his way of describing a supernatural being. Secondly, in verse 28, he described him as God's angel. Some biblical scholars think that the fourth person could have been Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate appearance. This is probably why the phrase "a son of the gods" was translated as "the Son of God" in the New King James Version. If you are going through the fiery furnace of afflictions today, be encouraged that you are not alone in it. Jesus is in it with you. Jesus, our Emmanuel, who is God with us, promised in Matthew 28:20 to be with us always, even to the end of the age. Therefore, whatever you are going through, however hot the furnace may be, Jesus, the Son of God, is with you. In your health problems, Jesus, the Son of God, is with you. In your financial problems, Jesus, the Son of God, is with you. In your frustrations, in your disappointments, in your failures, in your stresses and strains, Jesus, the Son of God, is with you. The miraculous rescue of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is a fulfillment of Isaiah 43, verse 2, which reads as follows: "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." This verse indicates that those of us who are children of God through Jesus Christ are not exempted from problems. However, when problems come our way, we can expect God to supply all the help we need. Just as God sent help from above to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego during their time of need, let us continue to trust Him completely to send us all the help we need to survive our fiery furnace. However, it is also important for us to note that the three faithful Jews were prepared to die in case God, in His sovereign will, would not rescue them from the fiery furnace. All they wanted was for God's will to be done in their lives. Therefore, whatever may be the problem you are facing today, the big question is, will you continue to follow God faithfully, even if in His sovereign will He decides not to solve that problem? I pray that each one of us would have the kind of deep faith expressed by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That kind of faith that says, even if God does not rescue me, I will continue to follow Him wholeheartedly. This kind of attitude will surely bring honor and glory to our God. Let's now look at the third and last key point. There is no king like our God. This miraculous rescue of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is another clear indication that there is no king like our God. In a way, this story about the three faithful Jewish men was an open contest between King Nebuchadnezzar and the Almighty God, who is king over everything. In fact, in Daniel 3, verse 15, Nebuchadnezzar boasted like this: "And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Although King Nebuchadnezzar conquered many nations and ruled over a big empire, his power was nothing compared with the power of the God that the three Jewish people served. This theme is captured very well in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 to 12, and I read, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all." What a wonderful description of our God. Furthermore, our God has total control over all kings, queens, presidents, governors, prime ministers, and all others in authority in every part of this world. This is stated in Proverbs 21 verse 1, which reads, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes." The miraculous deliverance of the three faithful Jews clearly showed that victory belonged to the Almighty God, and this was acknowledged in a special way by King Nebuchadnezzar, as recorded in Daniel 3:26-30. First, he recognized that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were servants of the Most High God. We see this in verse 26. Secondly, he praised the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He also recognized that the three men trusted and obeyed God, and he delivered them. We see this in verse 28. Thirdly, he decreed a very severe punishment for anyone in the Babylonian Empire who spoke against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He also admitted that there was no other God who could deliver like he did for his servants. We see this in verse 29. And fourthly, in verse 30, we observe that he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can see from all these observations that the faithfulness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ultimately brought glory and honor to the Almighty God. Indeed, if we remain faithful and do things in God's way when facing our afflictions, the unbelievers will recognize something special about our God. They will honor and even praise him and become attracted to him, and that could be an important step towards accepting Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. In view of all these points, whatever may be the problem you are facing today, I encourage you to look at your problem as a powerful tool that God can use to bring honor and glory to his name. It is my prayer that the way we face our problems with the strength that comes from God will attract many people to Jesus Christ. In conclusion, we have considered the topic glorifying God in our afflictions, and we focused on the following key points. The first one, are you following the crowd? Are you following the crowd? Let us not conform to the shifting standards of the world around us. Let us live our lives in accordance with the unchanging standards of God. Secondly, how deep is your faith? Let us continue to trust God completely to solve our problems. Jesus is with us in all the problems we face on this pilgrim journey. However, it is my prayer that we will all demonstrate extraordinary faith, which says, I will continue to follow the sovereign God wholeheartedly, faithfully, even if he does not rescue me. That is not easy, but I pray that that will be your experience. The third key point was, there is no king like our God. Victory indeed belongs to our God, who is king over all. Furthermore, let us remember that the way we face our problems can attract unbelievers to Jesus Christ. On the whole, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego brought honor and glory to God in their afflictions. How about you? May God help us all to do just that. Do you have a right relationship with God? With this same God who delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In this regard, I would like to challenge you in two ways. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, I encourage you to do so without delay. According to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we thank God for John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank God for his great gift, for the free gift of salvation that he has given to us through Jesus Christ. This is expressed clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is not something we can work for. It is a free gift from God. Have you accepted that free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ? If not, I encourage you to do so today. But you know, one interesting thing and very important thing as well is that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are reminded of our responsibility after accepting Jesus as Savior and Lord. Yes, it is true that we cannot be saved by the good things we do. But if our faith is genuine, our faith should be seen in the things that we do. So Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May God help us to respond to this invitation, to come to Jesus, to accept the free gift of salvation that God is offering us, and having done so, to go on to live a life that will honor and glorify God. And then I want to challenge those who have already accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you have already accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, is there any area of your life where you are disobeying Him? If so, I challenge you to rededicate your life to Him today. Be encouraged by 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, which says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May God interpret this message into our hearts. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Our dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message that has gone out. I pray that you use it to bless us and challenge us to a closer walk with you. Thank you that we are not alone in our problems. Thank you that Jesus, our Emmanuel, is always there with us. So thank you, Lord, that because of that, victory is sure. Thank you for the wonderful example of deep faith that was shown by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Help us, Lord, to follow that great example. We ask all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Our next song is titled, There Was Jesus, written by Zach Williams, Casey Bithard, and Jonathan Smith. It was made popular by Dolly Parton and Zach Williams. It's a song that emphasizes the fact that Jesus is always there with us in all our problems. Isn't that wonderful? The last song is titled Care's Chorus, and it's a song that was written by Kelly Willard and made popular by Maranatha Praise Band. The song challenges us to cast all our cares, all our burdens on the Almighty God. It is my prayer that each one of us will do just that. Thank you again for joining us in this worship. May God bless you all. Amen and amen.